Okay, everybody, the sooner we get quiet and get started, the sooner we get to sleep tonight, which is not to minimize the importance of what we're about to hear. It's just, you know, relevant to how fresh we'll feel tomorrow. Everything has consequences. Okay, so we're going to continue on with the Focus Station KPFA, and we've heard from Lemlin, we've heard from Michael. We're going to hear 10 minutes from Richard Phelps, and then we'll have about 20 more minutes to discuss issues with folks about what's going on at the station. So, Richard, it's your show for the next 10 minutes. If you can do it in 9 and a half, all the better.
Do you want me to time it?
Welcome. All of you folks from out of town, I've been to some of your stations, and I'm glad that you are here. Unfortunately, it's too bad you're not sort of more closer to our station where we could go hang out tonight or something. And as we did last time, we had a nice party at the station in June of last year. And I'm passing around some papers. You know, when I last gave a report, it was in Washington, D.C. in January, and things were a little bumpy then in governance, and unfortunately, they've gotten worse. And
Richard, hang on. I can't hear you because people are not settled in yet.
Okay.
Wait till. Okay, I think we've got you got our full attention now. Go ahead.
Anyway, in the last 2 or 3 months, some things have happened at KPFA LSB that I think the board needs to know about and maybe needs to do something about. So I want to just fill you in on that because governance is important, and that's what we're trying to do, is have a fair level playing field and good responsive governance. In our August meeting, several people were on vacation, and they were on vacation to the extent that one of the sides, you might say, had a two-thirds majority. That's the side that didn't normally have the majority. Our side has the side that elected me has a very slim majority. And while the two-thirds majority was in effect, several things were changed. And I think those changes you need to know about, and maybe you want to supersede, because to change them back, we're going to need a two-thirds the other way, and that may never happen. Let me explain to you a couple of the things that were changed. Number one, we have what's called an agenda template, and we've used this for a long time as an advisory function. And if those of you who know Robert's Rules of Order, you'll understand, and those of you who don't, I'll explain a little bit. An agenda is a proposed agenda until it's passed by the body before the meeting starts. And at that point, under normal rules, it requires the majority to make any changes. And so if something comes along that's urgent, the majority can move it right up to the very front of the agenda if they want to. Now, you don't do that very often, but occasionally something comes up where you feel it's needed to be done, and you have that flexibility. It's called majority rule. What happened during the August meeting is the minority group took a two-thirds vote and passed an agenda template special rule of order, which now means that nothing on the agenda can be changed out of its category where it first comes in without a two-thirds vote, which means we have a, you know, sort of moribund agenda to begin with. Anything that comes in as new business can only be moved up to the top of new business that meeting by the majority. It takes two-thirds if you want to take that new business item. If the station was burning down and you didn't have a two-thirds vote, you couldn't bring that issue up to the top of the agenda. So, I mean, you guys don't do that. You have majority agenda. This, what's interesting about this is that the people that did this, if you go back and look at our archived agendas, exactly to the day 1 year before, they took something and moved it up to what their pastor moved that says we can't do now. So what happened is there was a change in the majority, and now this group wants the majority that exists to be hogtied, so they can't do anything efficiently. It basically it's sort of like the California budget. You know, it requires two-thirds to pass, and it always takes a long time to get it done in the legislature. It's totally contrary to the normal rules by Robert's Rules of Order, and it's just very unfair to hogtie our agenda that way, but now we'll have to have a two-thirds majority to change it back, except for the fact that anything an LSB does, which is a committee of this board can overrule. So I would ask you to take a look at that and overrule it and change it back to normal majority rule, because that's the way it's supposed to be. There was one other change that was made that's very interesting. I had put a motion before the board some months before, and it finally got its, well, actually it didn't get its way up there. This day, there was an activity which you would call sort of cherry picking. The two-thirds people went down and brought everything up that they wanted to deal with. I'd put a motion in before to make it, all you needed was 25% to have a roll call, because in Robert's rule, there is no specific rule. And if you have a majority that's all that's required for a roll call, then the same majority that can dominate the agenda can stop you from having a roll call on it. So they took that motion, passed it, but they amended it. And they amended it to the fact that if anything that's discussed in executive session about personnel issues, if the board wants to make that public, 25% can stop that. So now we have another really minority rule. Yes.
I have to ask a question. You said this happened at a meeting where a group happened to have
two-thirds majority.
Two-thirds majority.
Right.
Adoption of special rules of order require previous notice and two-thirds. So how is it possible?
They had put that on the agenda before. They put up, but in fact, it had been talked about. It was not going to ever get passed. Believe me, I was trying to find a way to stop it, Dave. But unfortunately, they had it on the agenda, and they brought it up from the bottom. And what's interesting, the way they brought it up to put it up there, you can't do that now. I mean, that's the irony of this whole thing. They used a process to put in a rule which stops anybody else from using that process. Well, anyway, so you see the inequities here. And I would ask the board to take a serious look at this and overrule that and put it back to a normal Robert's Rules of Order, that the proposed agenda is a proposed agenda, can be moved any way around it wants by the majority when they approve it. Okay. The second thing that came up, and I've handed out a packet to you on this, was something that makes me very sad. And I had to say this because there had been a lot of stuff going on at other LSBs, and I had been feeling fairly proud that our LSB had not gotten into the kind of dirty stuff that other places have been messing around with. And all of a sudden, the truth comes out about a staff member. What you have here is something I wrote up for this. Please excuse the fact that at the bottom of the second page it actually has some election enneering on it, but I had done it without that before, and because the election's here, I did that. So I'm not trying to get any of your votes. It's just I didn't want to have to print any other copies. I don't want to waste the paper. But the reality is everything on here is factual and accurate, and if anybody wants to throw it, that's why I put the transcription in here, because I went and got the recording and transcribed it, and so that everybody could see what exactly happened in those two LSB meetings where the mistake was made on putting down that this LSB member was excused when he wasn't. And I've given you copies of the attendance record to show you his 41%. He was not involved in any committees. He was not involved in any national committees. He was basically a ringer holding a seat. I'm sorry to say that, but that's what it was. He's the only person I know that hasn't come to anything else. And when some of us started questioning that, we got attacked. Fortunately for us, our courageous director, LeVarne Williams, went and looked up the employment record as a director can do. And guess what we found? He stopped working in April. He hadn't worked April, May, June, July, August, but they were excusing him. I ended up getting in touch with this gentleman through some emails, because he actually contacted me first. And he told me that during that whole time, he was not asking to be excused. But he was getting excused because, and it was stated at one of the meetings, that people didn't want the other guy coming up. So what we have here is sort of a Paul DiRienzo thing in reverse. Instead of kicking somebody off, they did something to keep somebody from getting on. And I think this needs to be investigated by the board, because let me tell you from a legal point of view, and I think I can speak to that from being an attorney for many years, all of the votes that were taken when this person was on there illegally and the other person wasn't allowed to be there are subject to challenge. And that could redo any vote that had a close margin to it. And
got about a minute left.
Thank you. So, I mean, we've got a serious situation here where we had people keeping a proper person off the board through knowledgeable excuses. And as you read this, I'll just explain the one last thing. The reason that I know that this wasn't a normal mistake is that the person that this person worked for was on the board. The executive producer of the program he worked for was a member of the LSB, and she had to know when he stopped working. But they continued to vote to excuse him when they knew he was no longer working at the station. And this same person is one of those people who was on that email about dismantling the LSB with four or five other people. So you have this coming together here of a dismantling mentality and keeping a good community activist staff member off the board illegally. And I think the board needs to look into that so that we can have some decent governance at KPFA. Thank you.
Thank you. Can you clarify something? When you said they're keeping a member off illegally, the excused absences you're claiming were illegal.
The man didn't work there anymore. He wasn't eligible to be on the board.
It's not true. There's nothing in the bylaws that say you lose your status if you got elected in one category of membership. If you're no longer that category of member, we've dealt with that going the other way when we're dealing with listeners who ended up getting shows.
Well, Dave, I would beg to differ with you. If you look at the part that I quoted in here, you lose your foundation membership as a staff member when you stop working, and it's a requirement to be a staff foundation member to be an LSB member. It's just like if a congressman moved to out of state, he can't still be a congressman for California if he moves to Arizona.
I'll look into it.
And the other point is, like I said, he told me he wasn't asking to be excused.
Okay.
So,
all right. So we're open.
And I've got that in an email if anybody wants to see it.
Okay. We're open for discussion on any issue having to deal with KPFA. And I've got Bob and Mary, Alan and Sarv to start with.
Hi, Lem. First of all, I just wanted to thank you for your presentation and just applaud you for wearing three hats at once as interim general manager, development director, and de facto program director. So I know that must be one job is impossible enough, much less three. So congratulations. I just have two questions. First, in your report, you mentioned that you're beginning to plan an endowment campaign, and since that's something I think would be very valuable for WBAI and every station, can you tell us more detail about how that is structured? What are the features of an endowment campaign?
We haven't even started planning for the endowment campaign, so I can't give any details. We have spoken to a few donors about starting an endowment campaign. We've secured some funds for the initial stages of the campaign, and that's basically where we're at. But you're right, it may be more beneficial for maybe Pacifica to also be part of it. And I think there are various options that should be explored in terms of maybe creating a template for other stations to use or doing it on a national effort.
Great. Well, that template will be extremely valuable after you develop it, so I'm sure you'll share it with the other stations. My other question was about the complaints we heard earlier from the labor collective. Can you address the complaints that they have made?
I wasn't here earlier. I had to go to the station because we're starting our fund drive on Tuesday. So I didn't hear the exact complaints of today, but I know the general complaints from members of the labor collective. I think you've heard the details of what their complaint constitutes. All I can say is we have a human resources consultant who's investigating the matter. He's almost near completion of his investigation, and he's prepared to make a recommendation soon. And we're going to proceed from there.
Thank you.
Mary, I see you, Rob. I can only speak to the agenda template. I think I don't understand how it has the effect that Richard says it has. On the governance committee, Max Blanchet and I and then a few other people developed this early in 2004 as a way of keeping meetings to 2.5 hours. And we had all the standard. It was very similar to the sort of a PNB a template that I had seen. It's sort of a loose thing. Within the 2.5 hours, there's whole blocks that are very flexible and can be used for one thing or another. It has the standard things we always have, introductions, approval of the agenda, the consent calendar, blah, 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 and then after that there's a bunch of other chunks. So I don't understand why. I just don't believe that this requires a two-thirds vote to change anything on the agenda. There's room for new business, other items, reports, whatever you want. And you just put them. It's just a way we were trying to see if we could keep meetings to 2.5 hours, because after that, people, they just, you know, the quality diminishes, as everybody knows.
So I'm sad about that this we meeting have this. Here is what?
This, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
Well, I know. It was an attempt.
I just made your point.
It was early, you know, and it was early in the LSB's life. The bylaws had just been passed. We had hopes. It hasn't succeeded in doing that, but, we tried. And I don't know. I'm sad that all this is going on, and I hope we can come together and spend our energy, especially, you know, we just hear about these horrendous things happening in the world, and I hope we can put our time and our effort and our brains and our whatever resources we have to better and more constructive uses, and I hope we can start pretty soon.
Alan, Sarv, Lydia, Rob.
I was born in Berkeley, and I moved when I was 3 months old, and my mom was a big KPFA listener. Yeah. My mom was a big KPFA listener, so I, like Pacifica Radio, was birthed with KPFA. So I have a tremendous amount of respect for the station and its history. But from a distance, I have to admit I've always been a little bit confused and never really gotten clarity about the nature and function of the programming council at Berkeley and how space is made on the grid for specials. Space could be made on the grid for new shows. I also, Steve Zelter had made reference to a statewide labor show, which I produced the part that was down in Southern California. It certainly was a success, and I certainly thought that they were very able programmers in that instance, at least in the other work I've seen. I'm interested to hear you elaborate on how the program council functions, since it's different than how we function at KPFK, how room can be made for space on the grid for specials at KPFA, and if that's a difficult or in fact an effective process. And then just a last question is, you mentioned when the fund drive is. Could you just say what your goal is numerically? So the question about the program council and how that functions at KPFA.
The program council at KPFA is made up of department heads, community reps that are chosen by the LSB, and three LSB representatives. There are also seats for staff, unpaid staff, training staff, somebody from operations director, as well as the manager, the development director, and the general manager. The general manager doesn't vote. The program council had it makes decisions or recommendations on a voting system. The program council. Wait, I'm sorry. Do you want to say something?
No, go ahead. But I have a follow-up.
Okay. The program council had a retreat where it set some objectives and goals for itself for the year, as a body, and one of which was to evaluate current programming, and figure out what to do. Figure out next steps from the evaluation process. and also to evaluate the grid. I personally think it's important to have a program director in place while evaluating the grid, because making recommendations is one step, but implementing the recommendations is a big part of it. So, and I think a program director needs to be part of that process, so it's not only planned properly, but also implemented properly.
Are you finished? Because just a follow-up.
I was just going to talk about everything else. But
the follow-up, I suppose, would be is that, you know, faced with, I mean, obviously we've talked about expanding technology that could produce a lot more product as something that could be taking place, but we'll see if it holds in Pacifica. But in the meantime, we have the 168 hours a week. We have declining listenership. We don't have very flexible programming grids throughout Pacifica.
No.
But since you have a unique model, I was wondering if there is any sense you feel in the community of KPFA listeners and your own reflections on whether the model at KPFA can really respond to the need for flexibility in the face of the need to attract new audiences.
No, the response we get is that it doesn't. It doesn't allow for community participation because it's... just because of the way it's structured. I think there is a consensus in terms of making it so that community participation can happen effectively. We also want to explore our website and make sure that at least programs and production is having an outlet for people to hear if it's not getting on there right away. We preempt programming for specials, and we do that quite often for programs from community members and producers like Steve Seltzer and Ian Yourself, as well as annual specials that we broadcast, like music concerts and things like that. That's all.
Can I add one thing about the program?
I can talk
council?
About the fund drive after.
Hang on a sec, Richard. Were you done?
One very short final. Which is, how does that process happen when a special is in place? There's a music thing coming up or a big. How does the body come together?
We have a proposal submission process. We have a proposal form that's accessible on the website and through staff at KPFA that people fill out. And it's evaluated by the department heads and by the program council. And then it's, you know, sometimes a demo is provided and the decision is made based on the demo. Sometimes it's based on past practice, traditional practice. And then some proposals are granted time and programming is preempted for them, and others are not, depending on what the timing, if it's fund drive time or if it's...
Yeah, I just want to give a little factual thought for everybody to have, so you'll notice when you talk about the program council, it's two-thirds staff, one-third listener. Just want people to know the ratio.
Our full fund drive starts on October 3rd, and we'll go through the 19th. We'll finish at 11 a.m. with Democracy Now! Did you have any other questions in terms of fund drive? And the goal is $950,000, including KFCF, pledges to KFCF, our sister station in Central California.
Richard, is something quick?
Pardon?
Was it something quick?
I already did it. Oh. You missed it. I
don't need to hear it.
Okay, I'll tell you later. You do need to know.
I may need to know, but we need to move, so yeah, I will listen to the recording.
Okay.
Sarv.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Richard, I was hoping that, and I was expecting that there'd be a report, a written report by LSB Chair to this board regarding the fulfillment of part of our mission, if the KPFA is fulfilling that. But before I ask you the question, I want to make sure that is this the totality of your report?
No, I actually didn't do a written report. Those are just documents to explain what I was here to ask the board to look into.
Is there a possibility we could get a report, Mr. Chairman?
If one is available, we ask all the LSBs to submit a written report. I don't know whether or not got them from everyone.
I can write up what I presented today.
The reason I'm asking is that these documents here that you presented, they are 1, 2, 3, and 4. And the first one is a election kind of a pamphlet. The second one is a transcript of the absence of one of the LSB members. The third document is record of absences of the LSB members. And the fourth one is an email of some kind. These are the four documents you presented?
Yes.
All right. The reason they're important is that I wonder if the intent of what was the intent behind passing these election documents?
Well, as I said before, if you were listening, I said that I had prepared that as a non-election document previously, and the same content was in it. I just had printed those up to hand out for elections, and I ran out of the other ones, and I didn't want to waste any more paper. So it's really a factual statement with that little part tagged on at the end. But all the rest of it I had produced previously.
I hope that everybody has it. And
yes, in fact, if you want to check, I submitted that to the Berkeley Daily Planet.
No, I understand, but this is not a Berkeley Daily Planet.
I know.
This is the governing body of Pacifica Board.
This is the Walnut Creek.
Thank you.
What we expect from our chair is a report on the functioning of that LSB, which is a committee of this board. And what we ask for, I think, what we want is some kind of a report that tells us and elucidates what's going on in addition to just election kind of documents.
That wasn't an election document, as I said. It became that. What it is a factual statement about some corruption on our board.
And at the end,
this board needs to know about.
Okay, let me state here. I'll read it here. And this is under your letterhead here.
That's right.
It says, here are the people that consistently voted to excuse the person, absences long after blah, 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 these people, and then you say, them or any candidate they endorse or this and that, you want to remove them and vote for real listener reps, some other people, stuff like that. Is that the report to this board?
No, that just happened to be
what
there.
What is that?
That just happens to be my opinion about something.
All right, well,
the other part is what I'm submitting. I could have cut that off, but it would
understand.
Cut off the bottom.
I understand. I wish you had would have cut it off, too. And thank you very much for your hard work. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
To mind everybody, those Feel the Love t-shirts are right there in the black box. They're available. And actually, it was suggested to me today. I think it was Dwayne's idea that on the back we put on the back we may be doing another run of them that says "Don't trip." That was Dwayne's idea. I have to give credit where credit is due.
Don't trip.
Yeah. So the next person is Lydia.
Okay, this wasn't my original comment. My original comment was for Lemlin about the Spanish language, but I also want to get back to Richard. But Lemlin, you said that the Spanish language news would be incorporated into the grid once you approve the grid or implement the grid. When will that be? What is the projected time frame for that, do you think?
For the grid evaluation? I would say it would probably go through winter, but I would also strongly recommend that the committee wait or the program council wait for the position of PD to be filled and include the PD in the process. So between 3 and 6 months.
Thank you. And Richard.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know if you received the email. Do you listen to our PNB meetings? I don't know. Anyway, the point is that we
quite
have passed
regularly, actually.
Oh, okay. Well, then you know that we passed a resolution asking the local station board chairs to produce a report for us that would include the fulfillment of their responsibilities.
Okay, that meeting I didn't catch, and nobody sent that to
no,
me.
No, well, you should have received an email from our secretary, I believe, that sent an email out to all of the chairs. No? That didn't happen? Okay. Well, anyway, so since you were not notified, if you could produce such a document at your earliest convenience,
sure.
And we just need to have, we're just asking all the local station board chairs several of them have responded as to the status of that report, and it's the specific article in the bylaws of everything that the LSBs are supposed to have done by now.
Did we do town hall meetings?
Exactly, that's right. And we're asking it of everyone. It's not, we're not singling you out.
Okay. Well, if somebody could send me that exact thing, I will definitely respond to it as promptly as I can.
Just so people know, I'm seeing Don and Evelyn now, and LaVarne. It's now 8:30. After we're done with the KPA, and this would take us to basically the time we had for the KPFA thing. I mean, we are there now. We still have 1 hour on the remaining three stations and the Archives Director report. So we have an hour and a half after this. It is 8:30 now.
We also have tech report.
We move tech to tomorrow. We have Rob, Ray, Alan, Don, and Alan, I'm going to put you after people who haven't spoken yet. Don, Evelyn, and LaVarne. So if each of them are to get answers to the questions, we're really looking about another 15 minutes. Do people want to extend time for 15 to go through that stack? Okay, because if we don't have a motion to extend time now, we're done.
So moved.
There's a motion to extend time by 15, and I think it's been seconded. Is there any objection? Okay, there's no objection, so we'll do 15 more minutes on this. Members should try and hone their questions. Rob?
Thank you for your report, Lemlem. Did I understand you to say that the program council, in your view, doesn't work, or that you think it does work?
The program council works. It makes incredible contributions to the station.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure that I heard you correctly.
No. I said the program council's work would be more effective if a program director was also a member of the body, so that recommendations and decisions can be implemented effectively.
And when was the last?
Wait a second, Rob. I think you were reacting to the statement that she said that it didn't that there were problems meeting rapidly changing needs. You did make a statement to that effect.
Yeah. Right, yeah, because your station is losing listenership at a
rapid... All stations.
Of course all stations are, but KPFA, and I grew up listening to KPFA. This is not pejorative, but you probably are dealing with the issue of the aging listener and how that's impacting your audience before it's happening to some of the other stations. And my concern is that... Is the program council helping you deal with that issue or not?
The program council is helping us deal with the evaluation of current programs.
Right.
And also looking at the grid so that we can, we can have innovative voice of making change.
Okay. On the program committee, I have a member of the KPFA program staff. And it's my understanding that the program evaluation process that began almost 2 years ago is still in train now. When do you expect that it's going to be completed?
I think the projection was to be completed by December. I think this is the last cycle, either the last cycle or the next to the last cycle. Many programs have been evaluated.
Okay. You mentioned in your testimony,
Now I know why I feel the way I do.
Thank you, Senator.
We don't recall that conversation.
I object.
Senator, continue, Senator. I'm getting tired and emotional. You talked about that some recent programming, you'd had good feedback about the midterm elections coverage, I believe. How do you capture feedback? Do you have a formal system for doing that?
Yeah, we have a formal system of capturing feedback through the phone. We have a phone extension where listeners leave comments. Listeners email me directly.
Uh-huh.
They also email the station. We also have a feedback form on our website. And we also sponsor many, many events that are a benefit to the station or co-sponsor other organizations' events and are able to make face-to-face contact with listeners.
Okay, but you do actually have a formal telephone and website capacity for capturing listener feedback. That's
yes.
great. I like that.
Yes. And letters, and we put them in our public file.
But, okay, so that's all available. It doesn't just go into a...
It's available in the public
hit.
Files.
Okay, excellent. I like that. The other thing, I was very impressed with the work that your station has done with non-pledge revenues. And one of the reasons for me that your presentation, not testimony, was so effective was that you come from a background of fundraising and development, and you genuinely seem to be working KPFA in that direction. And my question is simply, would you be willing to work with the board and other people on helping us as an organization understand how to develop things like major donor programs, grant programs, web merchandising, for example? You have some wonderful, you have a photographer, Bob Baldock, who does events for you that has some just stunning, stunning things that he's done. Mm-hmm. And I'm just saying, would you be willing to work with groups and with the board to help us develop a better capacity at all of our stations to develop these other types of revenues?
Yes, I would love to do that. In fact, that's what I like doing. I don't like giving testimonies. I like developing fundraising plans.
All right.
Please excuse the senators on my right, madam.
We're getting just a little bit punchy. Will somebody say something upsetting and disturbing so we'll all be quiet? Ray, you got it in you?
Actually, I'll be brief. I'll comment on that. Well, thank you for your remarks, Lenlen. I'm just going to go back to one point that was touched by Bob Lederer, and I'm only doing that because I think it's very serious. That is the notion of a ban against any group or individual within the... I'm not taking any position on the validity of the information, and I'm just expressing concern and eagerly awaiting some kind of report as to what the situation is. And we've been told by people that are considered credible because of past contacts that the collective was banned from functioning. And the choice, the word ban was their one choice, so maybe this is a... That already skews the presentation, but I'm expressing concern about that. So, thank you.
Could you respond to that, Lemon?
Sure.
She did already.
So the program council placed a moratorium on proposals that labor collective members can submit to the program council because some issues had come up that the program council decided they weren't able to deal with. At the time, there was no general manager in place. I was a development director. And I wasn't really part of that process. Soon after I became an IGM, and then a complaint was presented to me from members of the labor collective about the moratorium that was placed. I don't believe that we should be banning people. That's against our principle. At the same time, there may be a time, and this is not about anybody, but there may be a time when some people may have to be unwelcome if their behaviors suggest things that are illegal. This has not been the case with the members of the labor collective. The issues that had come up are being addressed in the most proper manner by an expert, and I think soon we'll reach a positive conclusion.
Yeah, I'm assuming an additional term will be timely fashion?
Yes, as timely as possible.
I just want to clarify, because the people in the audience may not have heard the totality of what she said. She was making no accusation about the labor collective.
No.
And said that was not the case. She was saying in cases where people do things that are illegal, there may be cause, just in case that got misheard.
Yes, thank you for reiterating that.
Okay, Don, Evelyn, and LaVarne.
Okay, I'm going to make this quick. Like Senator Robinson, I'm very impressed with your presentation, and I think you really have made your station proud by the presentation here. And I'm very impressed by the off-air revenue streams, and I'm wondering if the Rolling Stones and Barbara Streisand are doing benefits for you, because I see that the impressive number in events, $211,000. So one of my questions is, gosh, we'd like to know, you know, the kinds of events that are generating that kind of revenue. And my second question, you are not responsible for this probably, and you're probably not the person who constituted the program council, but I'd like your own opinion about whether or not the imbalance of listener sponsors to staff on the program council, do you see that as at all problematic, and would you be more content to see listener sponsors at least at parity with staff on that committee?
In terms of the events, the $211,000, $289,000 is most of that is generated from our 36-year-old crafts fair.
The what?
We have an annual crafts fair that's 36 years old.
Oh, I know about that. Yes,
it's an aging crafts fair.
Which generates about $170,000 and $180,000.
But it's like a good wine. It's getting better with age.
I've actually been to that, and I understand.
And I would encourage other stations to also have at least one signature event like that. Start developing it. It takes time to develop. But not only is it a great fundraising opportunity, but it's also a great outreach opportunity. Like we get sponsorship from Bart, and like it's a good publicity.
And his other question about your opinion.
And then in terms of the program council, my opinion. I think it would be useful for staff to know, to get feedback from community members. The way that the program council operates now, it's just a body of people that that basically make decisions by votes. It would be most beneficial for the body, and I think it would be more effective if it operated by consensus. I don't know. I don't consider the number of people in it, how many people are in it, like an imbalance that only happens if you're voting. But if you're just exploring and talking to each other and reaching decisions as a group through consensus, then that imbalance that goes away.
Thank you.
If there are more, I mean, we need mechanisms to get feedback from listeners more effectively. I don't think six people on the program council also represent all the listeners. So we're not really doing it in the most effective way. We're just trying different avenues.
Thank you.
I'm not going to ask for a follow-up, but normally I would ask for a follow-up question around this.
Thank you for sharing. Evelyn.
Now, don't get too cute down there.
I'm sorry. I'm as punchy as everyone else. Please pardon me for being flippant.
Wow.
Okay.
You're holding a press conference.
One on each side. What I would like to say, both of the senators before me have already addressed it, but I would like to say that I think what you're doing is phenomenal, and I thought that at the last presentation, your level of fundraising and organization is quite exemplary, and I really think it's something that we need to grab hold of and duplicate across the network. Because we know that all of our stations need, you know, some creative ideas as to how to do our fundraising and things of that nature, because we can't get all of our money from our listeners in terms of membership. So thank you. That's it for me.
Thank you, Evelyn LeVarn.
I'd like to get that was a very good presentation. I think Lim is doing a very good job there at KPFA. I think as she stays in there, she's doing. It's like it's really good. And as she went through the things that KPFA, and like the in terms of the off-air fundraising, and just would like to point out, I know Lim would also say that we have a new webmaster, and he's been really instrumental in making these things happen.
Michael Monticelli, yes.
And also Lim introduced the business manager, Lois Withers, also really excellent people.
Yes.
And I think again, it's the people. Who really make the station successful? And the issues that Richard was talking about, I think they're valid, and perhaps we should talk some about, you know, how Robert's Rules deals with agendas, because in terms of presenting an agenda at a meeting for the first time and requiring a two-thirds vote to make any changes, it results in a lot of wasted time, because we've been in LSB meetings where it took an hour to approve the agenda. So this is not good. So you know, we
hang on a second.
Need to,
are you serious?
I am very serious. They're telling you. It's the truth. It's true.
Is there anybody who's denying this?
No.
I am.
Senator, you must go back to Mississippi then. And the other is that, you know, really, the presentation by Michael Yoshida, I mean, just this, it really makes you feel really good to hear that. And, you know, and just all the participants, not only from KPFA, but from the other staff people who are here and the finance staff, you know, this is what this is about. And I think there is a good buzz. And I think that where we have had some differences among the PNB, we've been able to sit down at the table and work those things out. So, you know, this is really good. Really appreciate KPFA hosting this in Walnut Creek, which, you know, we do have issues with this, and I do too. But now that I have a hotel room, it's not as much. But just would like to say thank you, and that some of the other people, like you mentioned, Bob Baldock, who's been with KPFA, you know, you have really strong resources to make these things happen. So thank you, and we do need to address some of these governance issues.
Thank you.
Thanks. And Alan Quickie.
Well, actually, Dan, I got a few questions I think people will recognize are pretty significant. What's the status of a non-interim general manager? What's the status of a hire of a program director? I think you'd be a great general manager given this report.
Thank you, Senator.
Sure. I think there's some feeling in the room to that extent.
Thank you, Senator.
Sure thing. But you are, I believe, still interim, correct?
Yes.
So if you could update the board on the status of finding a permanent general manager, whether there will be a program director at KPFA and what the status is of that pursuit, and though perhaps a more difficult question on top of all that. This board passed a motion that the first part was that on September 15th we would be updated as to what the barriers were to the implementation of Spanish language programming, and then this board, which is the governing board of Pacifica Radio, the second part of that was we wanted to know by October 15th where in the program grid the Spanish language program would be. Mm-hmm. And were you aware of that?
I was aware of the October 15th, and I was going to explore the option of maybe extension.
Okay, and
or we can just update you on where we are at that time.
Okay. It's again, I think I can say, and please people stop me from the board if I'm out of line here, the board has been discussing the difficulty that the board feels in implementing policies that it passes. Mm-hmm. And there's considerable frustration, and it's something like the asking for an answer by October 15th does put us then into conflict with a station that is not implementing the wishes of the board.
I see.
So your reflections on that. So the GM, the PD, and none of this is, of course, any grief to you or the job you're doing, but the GM, the PD, and then the issue of the October 15th.
Okay. The search for a program director has been going on for a little over a year and a half. There is an LSB search committee. The chair of the committee is not here, but one of the search committee members is here, and I think they can speak on that maybe more. The PD, no, I was just addressing the PD first. And then in terms of the GM hire, Laverne is the chair of that search committee, so she can give an update, because I have nothing to do with that process. If the search for the PD is going to remain open and the committee doesn't make a move to or is not able to make a hire soon, I would like to explore the option of hiring an interim program director, because we really badly need one. And then I apologize for not having a report on September 15th at the request of the PNB. I think we will be able to provide not something comprehensive, but an outline by October 15th. I understand the issue of passing policy or making decisions that don't get implemented, and I see that, and it's frustrating, I think, for everyone. But I think the best way of going about making change, or yeah, making change, is by getting buy-in. And I see that that doesn't really happen quite often. You know, decisions are made and expected to be implemented, but there is no time given to talk to people about it, get their perspectives, have their input, and get buy-in. So sometimes it takes time to go through that process on the local level, even though so it seems like the station is not doing anything, at least in our case. But what the station is actually doing is trying to go through the process of gathering information, getting buy-in, figuring out ways to do it. And then Laverne maybe can talk about.
I have one quick question. In your tenure as IGM, have you made any program changes? Has the program schedule changed?
No schedule changes. We've had several preemptions for short term, for a short period of time, and now we have an extended preemption for informed dissent.
Thank you. Levon, did you want to quickly answer the IGM?
The GM hiring. Yeah, we have actually sourced like three times for general manager candidates' applications, and we have a number of them in. There are a number of fine candidates, and we're kind of like, and since I'm the chair, so in my spare time, I take care of this too. But we're sort of in a mode near we're trying to do some housekeeping with all the resumes that we have received, and that's basically where we are. But I do believe that we will have something that we will not, you know, approach the PD hire time in terms of 18 months, that maybe we'll have something within the next six. But okay. That's where we are.
Thank you very much, and thank you, Lemlem, for a great presentation. I know everybody appreciated it.
Thank you.
Now we're going to be dealing...
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. Mr. Yes. President, can we have one more minute? Because the KPFA LSB members have some gifts for the PNB from the station.
Can we take time to get stuff? I don't know. What do you guys think? Can we take time to get stuff? They're going to buy us off. Are you up for it?
As senators, we have a long tradition of accepting payola.
Yes, like the Emmys.
You'll have to make the disclosure of this on your income tax, of course.
Gift bags.
I'm sorry? I forgot it.
Dave, can I say one more thing?
Dave's getting a red Corvette.
There's too much excitement. Maybe in a minute.
This is a girl shirt.
These are all the girl shirts. These are our girl shirts, man. They are girl shirts.
What?
Girl shirts.
No, I have my square training.
All right. Let's, you know, and people wonder why you can generate revenue giving away a mug for $50. You know, this frenzy just goes to show you. We're a really commodity-driven crowd. All right.
You play some music.
Okay, guys, let's focus. I don't know how much focus we got left in us. So just to remind people, hello. Yoo-hoo. Before we start into this next thing, the format that we adopted for these meetings was intended to allow us to really get extensively into the details about the particular focus stations. And so as a result, you only have a brief amount of time left for the stations who aren't focus stations. But with the rotation, everybody gets this amount of time. So what we're doing in this next section, we have 45 minutes. We had an hour, but I'd like to suggest we take 45 minutes. And it's just for the managers to highlight the key things that are going on at their stations, let us know if there are any major problems, tell us any major high points that are going on, and to ask a couple of quick questions on things that are relevant to our relationship to the stations. So while the process that we've had just now has been extensive, this next process is necessarily a more truncated version. So not everybody on the board who wants to speak or gets to ask a question may get to. I want everybody to understand that ahead of time. Either that or we can go till 2 a.m. But since I don't think we want to do that, next we have brief reports from Dwayne Bradley of KPFT, Armando Godinho, Program Director of KPFK, and Indra Hardat from WBAI. Now, was there a motion earlier about PDs? Okay, so I think Ernesto and Bernard, who are also here, we'll be asking them to make a quick comment as well. There was a motion much earlier in the day. No, we've done that. We did that earlier.